proclaim the gospel to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Shalom and welcome to the Everlasting Nation, a radio ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions.
This is Mark Osman with the International Board of Jewish Missions, bringing you another radio broadcast. We conclude our study on the typology of the tabernacle by noting that the tabernacle, along with its furnishings, presented the Israelites with spiritual insights into the type of life God wanted them to live. Over the course of this Bible study, we have looked at a number of items in the tabernacle. However, the Bible has much more to say about that structure. The Hebrew noun translated as tabernacle is the word mishkan. It's derived from a verb that means to dwell with or dwell. God explained the significance of the tabernacle in the 25th chapter of Exodus, when he decreed that the Israelites should, quote, make me a sanctuary, that I may dwell among them, unquote. In Exodus chapter 29, God stated his underlying purpose for requiring this of the Israelites. He said, quote, they shall know that I am the Lord their God, that brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, that I may dwell among them, unquote. God never intended for the tabernacle to remain in a single place permanently. As he directed the Israelites to move from one location to another, they transported the tabernacle with them, as recorded in the first chapter of Numbers. God specifically commanded the Levites both to set up the tabernacle and to tear it down whenever the Israelites moved to another area. However, God warned, quote, the stranger that cometh nigh shall be put to death, unquote. During the Israelites' sojourn in the wilderness, God instructed them to pitch their tents around the tabernacle, as recorded in Numbers chapter 2. The tribes of Judah, Issachar, and Zebulun encamped on the eastern side of the tabernacle. The tribes of Reuben, Simeon, and Gad encamped on the southern side. The tribes of Ephraim, Manasseh, and Benjamin were on the western side of the tabernacle. And the tribes of Dan, Asher, and Naphtali encamped on its northern side. Notice that the tribe of Levi itself did not have any assigned places to pitch their tents. That was because their ministry involved the tabernacle and those things that were done in the tabernacle. The metals used to cover the furniture inside the tabernacle also show the pattern. For example, the items in the courtyard, that is to say the brazen altar and the laver, the items in the courtyard had a brass coating. By contrast, the fixtures inside the holy place, such as the lampstand, the table of showbread, the Ark of the Covenant, the fixtures inside the holy place had a coating of gold. In the Bible, brass often typified an attitude reflecting the spiritual hardness of a person's heart. In Isaiah 48, for instance, God told the Jewish people that, quote, thy neck is an iron sinew, and thy brow brass, unquote. He echoed this sentiment in the 6th chapter of Jeremiah, when he labeled that prophet's contemporaries as, quote, grievous revolters, unquote. Thus, the items found in the court of the tabernacle reminded any person entering that structure that before they could approach God, they needed to deal with their sins. Gold, in contrast to brass, gold denoted anything of great worth. In Exodus chapter 20, God commanded the Israelites, quote, ye shall not make with me gods of silver, neither shall you make unto you gods of gold, unquote. Apart from the true God, no other object of worship possesses intrinsic value. When the priests entered into the holy place and saw the golden fixtures therein, they would remember that they needed to esteem the God whom they served. This is Mark Oshman with the International Board of Jewish Missions, bringing you another radio broadcast.
You've been listening to The Everlasting Nation, a ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions. For more information, you can contact us at 423-876-8150 or go online to ibjm.org. Until next time, may God bless and shalom.